we travel, this her shifting sands that transcend all the reasons of men. But the things that matter the most in this world, they can never be held in our hand. I believe in a hill called Mount Calvary. I believe whatever the cost. And when time has surrendered and earth is no more, I'll still cling to that old rugged cross. I believe that the Christ who was slain on that cross has the power to change lives today. For he changed me completely, a new life is mine. That is why by the cross I will stay. I believe that this life with its great mysteries surely someday will come to an end. But faith will conquer the darkness and death, and will lead me at last to my friend. I believe in a hill called Mount Calvary. I'll believe whatever the cost. And when time has surrendered and earth is no more, I'll still cling to that old rugged cross. I'll still cling to that old rugged cross.
Thank you, fellas. That was wonderful, wasn't it? Man, great song, great truth, great presentation. Take your Bible, if you would, with me tonight. Join me in Matthew chapter 12 and Matthew chapter 18. Now, I know it's been a long time, but we're going to continue our study in the area of the Savior and His sheep. Now, I'm not going to have time tonight to rehearse everything we've learned, but tonight, our subject matter is I want us to look at the heart of God, the heart of the shepherd, the heart of God. Matthew chapter 12, and we're going to begin reading in verse number 10. Would you stand with me if you would, please? Matthew chapter 12, and we're going to read beginning in verse number 10. The scripture says, "And behold, there was a man which had his hand withered, and they asked him, saying, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath days? That they might accuse him," speaking of Jesus. "And he," Jesus, "said unto them, what man shall there be among you that shall have one sheep, and if it fall into a pit on the Sabbath day, will he not lay hold on it and lift it out? How much then is a man better than a sheep? Wherefore it is lawful to do well on the Sabbath days." Let me stop while you're turning to Matthew chapter 18, and I want to draw your attention to something here. Jesus said, if you had a sheep, and it was walking on the Sabbath day, and it was the only sheep you had, and it fell into a pit, you're going to get it out or leave it. You see, what he's saying is, do the circumstances matter, really, to help somebody? Does the circumstances that a person is in, is that going to dictate whether you help them or not? Jesus said, listen, if that's the only sheep you had, it fell in a pit, it doesn't matter to you whether it's on the Sabbath day or not, you're getting the sheep out, right? His point is, you go after the sheep. You rescue the sheep. Now, look at Matthew chapter 18 and verse number 12. Matthew 18 and verse number 12. Jesus said, "How think ye, if a man had 100 sheep and one of them be gone astray. In other words, gets lured out or unconsciously goes astray. Doth he not howl or not leave the 99 and go into the mountains and seek that which is gone astray? And if so be that he find it, verily I say unto you, he rejoiceth more of that sheep than of the 99 which went not astray. Even so, it is not the will of your Father, listen now, which is in heaven, that one of these little ones should perish. Now, our subject matter tonight, I want to draw your attention to here, is the Savior and His sheep. But I want you to see the heart of God, because God is not willing to sacrifice even one sheep. He's not willing that any sheep go astray. And if they do, according to the Scripture, He's going after them. He said the circumstances shouldn't matter. If they need help, we need to try to go and rescue them. And so I want to talk to you tonight on that subject, the Savior and His sheep, the heart of God. Father, would you bless now the few moments that we have? Please teach us, sweet Holy Spirit, we ask in Christ's name. Amen. You can be seated. Now, church, there's a very unique bond between a shepherd and his flock of sheep. Now, that unique bond brings with it a certain understanding between the sheep and the shepherd. Now, I'm not obviously a shepherd of literal sheep, but I have studied a little bit about shepherds, and shepherds have a connection with their sheep, and they have a love for their sheep. Now, I want you to listen. Sheep know the heart of the shepherd. Now, many of you own pets, right? Your pet knows whether you care about them or not. Now, if you come home every day and you thump your pet on the head, more than likely after a while when you come in, they're not going to come see you. They're going to run and hide under the couch. But if you whistle for them, you come and you pet them on the head and you call them sweet names and you do all the things that you do with your pet, which don't have a soul. Thank you, preacher. And we do these things, right? And so we treat our pets this way, and our pet knows that we love it, right? So it comes back for that affection. Well, sheep know that about their shepherd. They know whether the shepherd loves them. They know whether he's going to protect them, provide for them, and they know whether he's going to be faithful to them or not. Now, on the other hand, the shepherd also knows the nature of the sheep. He understands, listen carefully, he understands that there are certain characteristics that are very common to sheep that cause them from time to time to separate themselves from the flock. Sometimes they drift astray. Now listen, the thing about it is they didn't wake up that day with the intentions of going astray. Things happen, circumstances happen in their life that cause them to drift away. Now in the instance that Jesus gave us in Matthew 12, he said that sheep went astray and fell into a pit. On the Sabbath day. Now, we going to get him out or not? He said, if that's the only one you're heading, what, you're going to reach down and get him out? Why? Because the circumstances of rescuing the sheep should not come into play. If they need help and they're in a pit and they're crying out, somebody needs to go help them. And that's the point Jesus was making. You see, this is why the good shepherd stays very active among his sheep. You know, a blue-collar shepherd, when I call blue-collar, not white-collar, not one that sits in his office and don't want to talk to anybody, and all he figures he's got to do is just preach Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Well, I'm here to tell you, I'm not a white-collar pastor. But a blue-collar pastor gets out among the sheep, and he checks the sheep out and makes sure that everything's okay. He talks to them after church. He converses with them after church. He asks them questions. He makes phone calls. He tries to keep in contact with the sheep. You see, he's trying his best to keep the sheep from separating themselves from the flock. But let me say something to you. As hard as the shepherd tries, and as much as he desires to keep the flock together, times will come when some will go astray. Times will come when some separate themselves from the security of the flock. Now, the shepherd dreads that time, church, when that happens, but the possibility will always exist, especially as the flock grows. As the flock grows, the potential of some going astray grows with that. Now, here's several things the shepherd knows. Number one, he knows that sheep are curious. He understands that sheep are curious people. And folks, listen to you. Some sheep are so curious, they think that they need to go outside the church sometime and check things out in the world to see what's going on the streets today. Sheep are curious. They want to know what's going on. And sometimes that curiosity, kind of like the cat, it kills the cat. And can I say to you, sometimes curiosity injures the sheep. And so curiosity, the shepherd understands that sheep are very curious creatures. Here's something else he understands. He also understands that sheep are very careless creatures. They're very careless. A lot of times they'll be going and they don't pay attention to what's going on around them. They don't realize that danger is near. And listen, folks, that's the reason you need to know this book. So when someone tries to spit false doctrine out to you, you need to know it. You need to know the difference between that which is true and that which is false. And see, he knows that sheep are not only curious, but sometimes they're careless. Here's something else the shepherd knows about sheep. He knows that the sheep are not very discerning creatures. They're not very discerning creatures. You see, that's the reason, if you'll remember, Jesus gave the illustration that sometimes wolves creep in sheep's clothing. Remember the cartoon about the wolf and the sheepdog? Remember the wolf was always trying to get in and get the sheep, and man, he'd dress up in every type of sheep, and the sheepdog always found him. He always found him out. Why? Because a wolf does not have the nature of a sheep. He's got the nature of a wolf. And he will eventually expose himself. So the shepherd knows that sometimes the sheep are not very discerning creatures. You say, preacher, you're saying that sheep are naive? That's exactly what I'm saying. Do you know the scripture teaches that the world is much wiser in the things outside these walls than the people of God are? You see, they're much wiser about what's going on outside here. But here's the one other thing I want to talk to you for just a second about that the shepherd knows. He also knows not only are sheep curious and careless and not very discerning. Oh, listen to me now. He also knows that sheep are very stubborn. When they decide they want a spot, they don't want to move off that spot. And when they decide they want to go a direction, they want to go that direction. So the shepherd understands these are things that can be a hindrance to sheep. So with this knowledge, the shepherd tends to his flock, but he tends to them with tender care, hoping and praying there will never be a day where one of the sheep come up missing. But normally there is. Now, for sheep to become lost in their way, church, there are usually some pretty outstanding circumstances that cause sheep to go astray. Let me get you to think about a few of them. First of all, sheep many times go astray on the hope of fame. The hope of making a new life for themselves. By the way, this is kind of the attitude Samson had. Samson had that attitude of fame and he ended up in disgrace. You know why? Because it was all about Samson. And so he sought the hope of fame. He wanted to live his own life. He wanted to be his own person. He wanted to pursue his own dreams. Oh, listen now. And God said, go ahead. Go ahead. Pursue your own dreams and let's find out where you end up in the end. You were ended up, no eyes, grinding at the mill and eventually committing suicide. That's where Samson ended up. And you know what? You and I will be no different if we choose the same path. Samson chose a path of fame that led him astray. Here's another group of people. Sometimes the lust for fortune will lead you astray. This was Ananias and Sapphira's downfall. A lust for fortune. And it led them away from the flock. Now, in this particular case, they died. And their lust for the fortunes of this life and the opportunity for a better job or more money or moving around chasing an executive title. People are looking for fortunes. And you know what many times they do? They move out of the will of God and they go astray from the flock. So not only the hope of fame leads the sheep astray and the lust for fortunes. Oh, follow me now. Sometimes the pull of friends lead the sheep astray. This was Amnon's problem. Remember, Amnon had a friend. And the friend is who counseled him to carry out his atrocious act against his stepsister. Now, what I'm saying to you tonight, folks, we are no different than these people are. We can be led astray by a friend, by fortune, by fame. Oh, listen to me. Let me hit one more here right quick. Sometimes the wounds of our feelings lead us astray. This is what the scripture says, Proverbs 18:14. The spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity, but a wounded spirit, who can bear? And the answer to that is, not very many people these days, it doesn't seem like. That when they're wounded in spirit, many cannot bear up underneath that. Now folks, what I'm saying is, the hope of fame, the lust of fortune, the pull of friends, the wounds of our feelings, many times, these are things that cause sheep to go astray and fall into a pit. Now here's what I'm trying to say to you. What I'm trying to say to you is the Father up above is looking down on us in love, and He wants to rescue us. He's got a rescue committee ready to go out and rescue the sheep. Is that not what we just saw? Did He not teach us that He's ready to rescue? You see, the unfortunate thing is many times when people go astray with fame, fortune, friends, and feelings, a lot of times pride sets in. They won't ever come back. And listen to me, church. Pride is a tranquilizer. Pride is a tranquilizer, and here's what a tranquilizer does. It paralyzes you. It paralyzes our will, and we won't remain in the flock. Many times, once offended or once insulted, sheep can't seem to find the ability to coexist with one another anymore. Now, all I'm saying to you tonight, church, is this, is that these are the things that cause the sheep to go astray. Now, I want you to take your Bible, go to Luke chapter 15 for just a moment. You've listened well. I mean, give me just a few more moments, and I want to make the application here because I want you to see something. In Luke chapter 15, Jesus gives us three parables about lost things. And I want to take the application of these three things tonight and help us. And if you'll give me the liberty to take and evaluate these scriptures in a spiritual light and make some applications, I think that what we'll see tonight is something that will help each and every individual one of us. Now, I mentioned to you that as our Heavenly Father, by the way, the scripture says, John 10, He's also our good shepherd. He wants nothing but the absolute best for the sheep. He wants nothing but the absolute best for His people. And if a sheep does go astray and does become lost to the fellowship of the church or the leadership of the church or the discipleship of the church, listen to me, our Heavenly Father immediately goes into rescue mode. He immediately goes out looking for the one sheep that goes astray. He's looking to rescue that sheep and bring it back into the fold. I'm looking down here at Brother and Mrs. Larice. They've got five children. I'm going to go out on a limb and say, you don't want to give any one of the five up. All five of them have your equal love, right? And if one of them got lost, what you do is you take the others and you'd put them in a secure place. You'd go look for the one kid, right? So listen, Jesus says that's the same way the Father feels about us, folks. That's the same way that God in heaven feels about us. If we go astray, yes, sometimes we'll seek after fame or fortune, or we'll seek friends, or we'll seek, or get our feelings hurt, and we end up going astray. But the Father is still seeking us. He's in rescue mode. He wants to rescue the sheep. Now, Luke chapter 15, I want you to begin looking, if you would please, in verse number 3. Luke 15, verse number 3, He, Jesus speaking, spake this parable and said unto them, what man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, and by the way, this lost item, this lost sheep, was lost curiously. This sheep was very curious about things. And so this sheep got lost in curiosity or ignorantly. He says, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it. The answer to that is, of course he will. And when he hath found it, the sheep, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. Now stop. Look right up here, church, just for a second. Sometimes when the sheep go astray, in some cases, here's what God will do. He'll send people to them. He'll send people out to rescue them. Did you notice in this case who went after the sheep? The shepherd did. God sent out the shepherd who loved them, had nurtured them, had cared for them. You see, this shepherd had a vested interest in the sheep. And because he had a vested interest, that's the reason he made sure the 99 were tucked away and he went after the one. And he looked and he looked and he looked until he found the sheep. This lost sheep, this lost item just happened to be a sheep. He was lost curiously. Remember I told you that sheep are very curious creatures? And a lot of times it's very easy for them to get off the path. And many times once they get off the path and the flock moves on and they look up, they're like, huh, where'd everybody go? It don't take but that long. You know how long it takes you to get off the path, the beaten path of the Christian life? One decision, just like that. If you don't believe me, when you get to heaven, ask David how many decisions it took to get off the path like that. How many times did it take Samson to get off the path? One decision, just like that. How many decisions did it take, do you think, for Demas to go back to the world? One decision. You see, all it takes is one decision on your part or my part, and listen, your whole life can change. You see, in some cases, God sends people. In this case, he sent the shepherd because he nurtured the sheep. He raised the sheep. He labored for the sheep. You see, what I'm saying to you folks is sometimes when we go astray, God will send people to you to try to bring you back to the fold. He'll send family members or he'll send friends. He'll send Christian people. He'll come and people will knock on your door or they'll call you on the phone or send you a letter through the mail. You know what God's trying to do? He's trying to get you back into the fold. Sometimes he'll send people. You see, the shepherd had a vested interest in the sheep. Let me say also that the shepherd has counsel for the sheep. You see, when the shepherd went out and found the sheep, he wasn't looking for a dog. So he wasn't, and he wasn't looking for pigs. He wasn't, soo. He wasn't calling Fido. He was looking for sheep, right? And so, listen, when he got out there, he found the sheep. Now he wasn't talking to the sheep, but did you notice what he did when he found the sheep? You see, what I'm saying is sometimes God will send people to you to try to help pull you back into the fold, and they will counsel you back to the right way. They will give instruction to you back to the right way. The scripture is very plain that says there's wisdom in the multitude of counselors. Sometimes God will send people to bring the sheep back into the fold. You see, the shepherd can advise sheep how to return back to the flock. You know how many times I meet people that say, preacher, I've been out of church so long, I don't even know how to get back in. I got something for you. I can tell you how to get back in. I can tell you how to come back to the fold. You see, he can advise them on how to return to the flock. Hey, he can minister answers to their questions. He can give them answers. Listen, this sheep got off track ignorantly, curiously. You see, he has Bible reasons why they shouldn't remain outside the flock. Folks, can I say this to you? If you ever get sideways with God and sideways at church and you fall out of church, listen to me, you need to talk to somebody. Okay? You need to talk to somebody. You don't need to just flounder out there and say, well, I just don't want to bother anybody. I don't want to talk to anybody. Listen, if you don't want to talk to anybody or bother anybody, you're going to sink further and further in the quicksand of life. Hey, I'm telling you, there's a Father in heaven that wants to rescue, and he's trying to send people to pull you out, to help you. In this case, it was a lost sheep, so God sent the shepherd. He sent a person after them. Why? Because he had a vested interest. He had counsel. Hey, this shepherd was willing to help the sheep. Did you notice what happened when he found the sheep? He picked the sheep up and put the sheep on his shoulders. Listen now, and carried him back. Well, boy, you know what that is? That's somebody who wants to help, right? Hey, folks, listen to me. Where do we get this idea that when we get sideways with God or we get sideways with people, that all of a sudden the thing about it is that person or nobody cares anymore? Hey, there's a God in heaven that cares, and he'll send people to your house. He'll send people to your door. He'll send people to your job to confront you to try to help pull you back into the fold. He wants you back in. Listen, you and I are no good to the Father outside the flock. outside the flock, what we are is we're wolf bait. We're devil bait. You see, in some cases, when the sheep go astray, you see the heart of God. And you know what he does? He sends people to you. Now, notice the second lost thing. Go down, if you would, to verse number 8. This is something that was lost. We find out the sheep was lost curiously. And here we find that this woman, the item that she lost it carelessly. Either what woman, verse 8, having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle, circle the word light, and sweep the house, and seek diligently till she find it. And when she had found it, she called her friends and her neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I had lost. Now listen very carefully now. This was a lost coin. It was lost carelessly. And guess what God did this time? He didn't send a person this time. You see, the first time it was lost sheep, he sent people. Did you notice what he sent this time? Look what he said. Immediately when she lost the coin, it says, doth not light a candle. Listen to me carefully. Psalm 119, 105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Listen, folks, here's what God does sometimes. Sometimes he won't send to rescue you. He won't send people to rescue you. He'll send the word of God to rescue you. That's the reason the day and the service you choose to lay out of church will be the exact day God says, man, I had the word for him that day. I had the word of God through preaching. You see, God doesn't always use people, church, to rescue a lost sheep. Sometimes he uses the word of God. Sometimes he does what Paul said. Paul said, for after that in the wisdom of God, 1 Corinthians 1:21, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. You see, sometimes God's not going to send a person. Sometimes God's just going to preach to you. Sometimes God's going to preach to you or send the message through preaching. Sometimes he's going to send it. He's going to rescue you through reading. Well, I'll tell you one thing. You know how many times we've all been at that place, and boy, we got the old proverbial white flag right close, don't we? We're thinking, you know what, Lord, I don't think I can do that. We're just about to pull it out, and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit says, stop! Remember that passage of Scripture you read about 6 months ago? Man, yeah. Put that white flag back up and go read that passage again. And boy, you rip that Bible out, and you sit there, and tears start coming down your face, and you read that passage again, and you say, that's what that means! That's what that's supposed, that application is to me. You see, sometimes, folks, God's not going to send people to rescue you. He's going to send the Bible to rescue you. He's going to send the Word of God through preaching, through reading, listen, through seeing. You ever wonder why you drive around sometimes and you see people rent billboards and signs and stuff and they put scripture verses on there? Because the Word of God is powerful. It doesn't matter whether it's through preaching, it doesn't matter whether it's through hearing, through reading, or through seeing. It will not return void. And I'm just here to tell you tonight, church, if God doesn't chase you down with people, he's going to chase you down with the word. So sometimes when a sheep falls in a pit, he's not going to have a person pull you out. Sometimes it's going to be the word of God. In this particular case, this woman lit a candle being a symbol of the light of the word of God. She swept the house and she sought diligently till she found it. Let me ask you this. Was she going to find it without the light? No, she wasn't going to find it without the light. And can I say something to you? Most of us aren't going to get back on the way without the word. We're not going to get back in the right path without the word of God. Now let me give you one more real quick. And that is the third lost item is found in verse number 11. And he said, a certain man had two sons. This son that we're about to read is preached about probably as much as any person in the Bible, and particularly in the New Testament outside of Jesus Christ. But this son, here we find a sheep that was lost curiously. We found a coin that was lost carelessly. And now we're going to find a son that gets lost consciously on purpose. A certain man had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me, and he divided unto him his living. Not many days after the younger son gathered all together, he took a journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there rose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. Why? He's out of money. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into the fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with husks, which the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. When he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go. Stop. God send a person to get him? God send the word to get him? Okay, so he didn't send a person here. He didn't send the word to get him. Look what God uses now to bring this sheep back. He says, I will arise and go to my father and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was a great way off, his father saw him. Listen now, we are about to see the exact thing that Jesus was talking about in Matthew 12 and Matthew 18. We're fixing to see it exemplified in the Father who represents your heavenly Father and the Son who represents you and I. We're about to see this incredible moving of love. And the scripture says, and he had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the Son said unto him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and in thy sight and no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe. Hey, did you notice the father didn't even address his question? The father never addressed. He said, I just want to be a servant. And the father looked and told the servant, go get the best robe. He never even paid attention to it. You know why? Because how can he ever be a servant? He's a son. He's always been a son. He says, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. Bring hither the fatted calf and kill it and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to make merry. Now let me wind this up and say this. Sometimes God, in some cases, when sheep get off the path, when sheep go astray, he sends people after you. Sometimes when sheep go astray, he sends the word of God after you. But in this case, he neither sent men or the word of God. You know what God sent in this case to get this prodigal son back to the fold? He sent a trial. You see, sometimes people won't listen to people. Sometimes people won't listen to the word. Let me tell you something. Almost all the time, they pay attention when God rips everything away from them. They have no money. They have no place to live. They have nothing. And let me tell you something. This guy had everything taken away from him, and it wasn't until that time, until the scripture says, then he came to himself. You see, sometimes God can't get the sheep back in the fold by using people or the word because they won't listen. So God says, hey, listen, boy, I sure hate to use this as a last resort. By the way, did you notice that the third item, the lost son, the trial, was the third option? The first option was people. The second was the word of God. Did you notice he used the third parable when he had to send the trial? Can I say to you tonight, sheep, God don't want to have to put you through a trial, but if he's got to do that to get you back in the fold, then he will do it. You see, some cases he has to send a trial. You see, the case of the lost son was a little different than the others because, again, there was no open rebellion shown in the first two, but here there was blatant rebellion against the father. There was a blatant decision to go out into the world. The son was defiant toward authority. He defied his father. Give me what's mine. He gathered all, and then he took his journey into a far country. You know what he said? You know what? I'm old enough now, I make my own decisions. I ain't going to church no more. I make my own decisions. You know what? I'm not going to read the Bible no more. Matter of fact, I'm old enough to make the decisions now. Give me my stuff. I'm moving out on my own. And listen, you know what? That prodigal probably saw the last thing. Maybe is maybe mama. Let me tell you something. When he went out on his own, wasn't all it was built up to be, right? It was overrated, wasn't it? The Far Country is heavily overrated. And when he got there, he found that it wasn't near what he thought. You see, that son was defiant toward authority. But listen, that son chose a life of riotous living. You see this boy right here? It wasn't going to, listen, nobody was going to get, if his own father, if he wouldn't listen to his father, nobody, no people were going to get him back from riotous living. He wasn't interested in the Word of God. So you know what God had to do? Boy, I sure hate this son, but this is what I'm going to have to do to get you back in the fold. He stripped him and he lost everything and he ended up about to eat with the pigs. Now, I don't know how close you've ever been to eating with the pigs, but it ain't fun. It's stinky, nasty, filthy. You ever see what pigs eat? It was basically garbage. But you know something? That son wasn't going to listen to anybody. And he wasn't going to listen to the Word of God. So God had to send a trial in order to bring him back. Listen, he was wasteful. He was out of control. He spent all. He was damaged goods. But it was his own choices. And then, did you notice there, the scripture says that even when he got to the bottom of the barrel, before he ever made a decision to go home, did you notice? The scripture says he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country. Hey, listen, the thing about it is, even after he lost his money, he still hadn't learned, right? So guess what he does? He goes over here and says, listen, these people in the far country, they love me. They care about me. These are my friends. So he runs over to his little druggy friends, to his little alcoholic friends, to his little groupies over here. And he said, hey, buddy, you know, it's old prodigal here. You don't remember me, don't you? They remember you. You ain't got no money. Hit it. But I thought we were buddies. Well, we were as long as you had money. But now you don't have any money. We don't need you, man. Get out of my face. Can I just stay in the house? No. Can I stay in the doghouse? No. Get out of here. Only people he found to be friends were with the pigs. You see, the unfortunate thing, the reason God had to send that trial to break him out of it, because he was locked into a lifestyle. And because he was locked into a lifestyle, no man, and unfortunately, the Word of God, he wasn't going to listen to that. Nothing had the key except God breaking him. When God broke him, he changed. Now, let me wind this up and say this. Usually, if neither the shepherd, that's people, the Word of God, nor trials draw the sheep back to the flock, then they're bound to their destiny of despair and defeat and may never return. Listen, it's sad, but according to 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 5, Paul said, after you go to an individual and you make an appeal with in person, with truth, and you try to bring them back to a place of repentance and they refuse, go check me out. According to 1 Corinthians 5:5, Paul said, turn them over to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that their soul might be saved in the day of judgment. You say, oh man, that's kind of scary. Hey, listen, folks, God sends people to try to rescue you. God sends the Word to try to rescue you. And then if that doesn't work, God will just let you go through a trial to try to rescue you. But if nothing works, he said, look, there's no other options, folks. There's no more people. There's no more Word. There's no more trials. If you didn't turn, then I'm going to turn you over to the devil. You know what that's like, folks? That would like somebody taking you to the Fort Worth Zoo at feeding time. And take you by the seat of the pants and grab you by the nape of the neck, and four or five people run and just toss you into the lion's den at feeding time. You said, that's terrible. Wait a minute now. Didn't the scripture say, be sober, be vigilant? Your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Now listen, I don't want anybody to have to end up there. But you know what? Sheep are curious. They're careless. They're many times not very discerning. And sometimes, folks, let's just be honest. We're just flat out stubborn. We're just stubborn. And God is being patient. He's trying to rescue us. He's trying to get you back in the fold. He's trying to draw you back in. And people many times, they scratch their head and say, listen, preacher, I just don't understand why I'm going through such a hard time. Okay. Think about it just for a few moments. It'll come back to you. God may be trying to draw you back into His will, draw you back into the flock, or He may be trying to draw you back into a relationship. You know what we saw tonight? We saw the heart of God. It's a shepherd. Hey, the illustration was, one sheep falls in the pit on the Sabbath day. Should the consequences matter whether you get him out or not? No. If he needs help, go get him. Can I say something to you? Doesn't matter what your circumstance or consequences are. God's after you. God wants you back in the fold. And he's going to use people, the word, or he's going to use a trial. Which will it be? Would you bow your heads tonight? Heads bowed, eyes closed, no one looking around. How many can say, preacher, I'm saved? No question about it. Slip your hand way up high, say, I'm a born again Christian.